What's up, everybody? You are tuned in to the Black Belt Podcast. It's your host, Razor Lees, and we are going to go over the NBA playoffs between the Warriors and the Boston Celtics. Man, what a series is going on right now, man. And the UFC that just happened this Saturday, UFC 275, where we had Glover Teixeira defending his light heavyweight championship against the madman, Jiří Procházka. Oh, my goodness. What a fucking fight that was. We also had Valentina Shevchenko, the little bullet, versus the newcomer, Tyler Santos. And man, what a crazy fight that was as well. Totally unexpected, the outcome and just the whole fight in general. We also had Joanna Jędrzejczyk taking on Weili Zhang in a rematch of quite possibly one of the fights of all time, like most definitely in the top five of the best fights of all time to ever take place inside of that octagon. And we also had a few other fights with some, you know, some guys trying to make name for themselves, trying to make, you know, their name shine into this new UFC world amongst us who may not be so familiar with them. We also had some guys that we were familiar with getting there and dance a little bit. And man, this card, it delivered. Like, we had Jake Matthews coming in there doing his thing against Andre. And man, that fight, I really thought Andre was going to get him up out of there in maybe the first or second round. But it was totally flipped on his head, because Jake Matthews came out there and he meant business. The right hook, bam, slapped him. Got on top of him and finished it off. What a performance from Jake Matthews, man. He deserved that, and he did his thing. Now, there were some guys, and you know what I really love about the UFC is fresh talent. Fresh talent is one of the best things to happen in the sport, and it's when a fresh face, an unknown, somebody with some hype behind them comes in and they delivers in the fashion that, you know, all the hype was brought up around. You know, for instance, when there was a girl, she calls herself the Chinese Ronda Rousey. Her name was Na. She fought as well on this card. And, you know, I was like, okay, let me see what she got. She comes in, gets obliterated. Like, man, she got rocked. And it was Na. I didn't see no Chinese Ronda Rousey at all. But, you know, you look at her record and you hear about her performances, and, you know, that's what she does. She finishes all her fights, and she armbars a lot of girls. But just, you know, when you make it to the UFC, this is where, you know, the litmus test really comes into play, and we can find out if you really are who you say you are or who you think you are. And a lot of times you're not. But some cases, there are some guys who come in and they back up, you know, the hype and everything they say. Like, you got guys like Hamza Shamayev, for instance. He comes in, talks a lot of smack, talks a lot of stuff, and backs it up. And it makes it that much more intriguing and make you want to see more of this guy. See if he's real, if what he's saying and what he's doing is actually, you know, something that he can keep doing and keep up. Got guys like Shavtok Rakhmonov. Like, this dude right here, he's a silent assassin. He comes in, his hype is just word of mouth. You know, it's not him saying nothing. As a matter of fact, I don't even think I ever heard him even say a word. But this guy, when he gets in that cage, he turns it on all the way. Like, this guy might be the most well-rounded. He reminds me of John Jones. And, like, nothing about him necessarily is the same as John Jones. It's just what, when I say he reminds me of John Jones, is, you know, when John Jones came into the game at a time where it was a lot of fighters that were singular disciplines. You know, they had one discipline that they were really good at and they focused on it. They kind of, you know, trained a little bit on the peripherals. They wrestling, they little jiu-jitsu here and there. But the main focus was that one thing. You know what I mean? You had your John Fitches. You knew he's going to take you down and lay on you the whole time. You had your Thiago Pitbull Alves. He was going to leg kick you to death, you know what I'm saying? Maybe knock you out. You had your Damian Myers, who was gonna try to, you knew what they was gonna do, you know what I mean? They had their particular discipline, and they were gonna try to implement that. And with John Jones, when he came in, he was just so good at damn near everything. It was like his, like, you know, you had Anderson Silva, but you know, everybody who thought they could be Anderson Silva were really good wrestlers. And they were like, well, Anderson Silva hasn't fought a good wrestler like me yet. And when I get him and hold him down on the ground, I see a hole in his game, you know. But with John Jones, it was like creative striking, fearless. Like, he's going to do whatever. He's going to try it out. So it's totally unpredictable. It's nothing that you can really prepare for or to even really adjust in the fight, because he's adjusting to you adjusting. Then his wrestling is just top notch. But he's JUCO. You know what I'm saying? So that people give knocks on that, like you JUCO, but really JUCO maybe just because you was just too bad to really get accepted into a big school, or, you know, there were some technicalities that, you know, prevented you from being able to go to a, you know, a top powerhouse. But, you know, those JUCO guys, man, when they dominating JUCO, chances are they probably could have dominated on the Power 5 stage as well. But you know, you had John Jones, he had the wrestling, he had everything. It was like he was this full package. It's like, how do you beat this dude? And to this day, nobody has done it, you know what I mean? And that's what I mean, sorry to get off on a tangent there, but that's Shop Talk Ramanov. I'm like, where is his hole at? Like, somebody's gonna have to get in there and find it, because right now there's no real blueprint on, you know, how to go in there and attack this guy. So, you know, him being a young up-and-comer like that, man, it's a lot of them. But man, I didn't got all the way off. That's because I love UFC, man. I love this sport. I love watching these guys fight. But to get back on track, there was a guy named Jack Della Maddalena. He's coming in with a lot of hype behind him, man. He's got them hands, and like, you don't want to see this dude's hands. And I seen him, and I was like, okay, yeah, he delivered. Okay, but was that a fluke? I mean, you know, they didn't really give him nobody. They gave him, you know, somebody again this time, but what the hell did he do? Come in there, left hook to the body, bow, smash him up for his 12th win in a row. Come on, man. When you got stuff like that going on, you got new talent like that coming in, it just makes it real exciting. It makes it a lot more exciting because it's fresh face, it's new blood, it's new attributes, it's a new way this guy can win, a new personality. It's just what sets this sport apart from different sports, because, you know, expansion teams can't just come in every year. You know what I mean? You got your same teams all the time, and you get new players that come in, but the teams are the same. But in this sport, man, somebody could come in like Chris Curtis. Chris Curtis been around the circuit knocking people out forever. Like, you can't, just because he's only three, four fights into the UFC, don't mean he is not experienced. Man got 30 plus fights. You know what I mean? So it's just a lot of new blood going around. Like, you know, I can remember back when Kamaru Usman was only, what was it, only 80% or 20%. Damn, I forgot which one he said. But it was, what, you know, the 80% Kamaru Usman, when everybody was booing him and thought he wasn't good. And, you know, he was, what, number 10, number 12, maybe even number 14 in the rankings. You know what I mean? You had Kobe Covington, you had, like, all the guys who are at the top of the heap right now, they were at the back of the heap trying to make a name for themselves. So, like, I'm seeing the new blood come pouring in, and now it's starting to, they're starting to wean, or not wean, but they're starting to weed out the fakes and the ones that's going to be here to stay. And with what Jack Maddalena did, man, these guys' names, that's another thing in UFC, you become real fluent or not in saying these guys' names, because these guys come from all over the globe, and some of these names just look like the alphabet. You know what I mean? Like my homegirl, Joanna Jacek. Like, try to spell that last name. And I've been watching her and writing her name down and looking at her name for the last 10 years. And I still can't spell that. I still can't spell it. But Jack Della Maddalena, he did his thing. Left hook to the body. Boom. Crushed him. Knocked him out for his 12th win in a row. Hats off to him. Fresh talent, like I said. And there was another guy, Fresh Face, who didn't, you know, first fight in the UFC. Yeah, he came from the Contender Series. But, man, this guy, he didn't even have a first name when I was looking him up. Like, they was just calling him Mashati. That's all they was calling him. And, man, this dude, he's the real deal. They said his stand-up was what it was, and he came in there and did his thing and delivered like the postman. He came in that mug and sat dude down. I mean, he put Steven Garcia out cold with a nuclear right hook, man. Just boom, crushed him. I was like, oh my god, yeah, this dude, he might be here to stay. So, and they gave him Garcia, which Garcia is a respectable person, especially or fighter, especially for your first fight into the UFC. It was kind of seeming like they was just really trying to test him early on, and he passed that shit with flying colors. So I'm really looking forward to this guy. He says he's gonna fight two more times this year. He's looking to get on the card in France. Dana, y'all better get him on there. People out here knocking people out like that, and they want to keep fighting. Don't deny him, and don't deny us. Get him back out there immediately. Now, we had Zhang Weili against Joanna Jacek for the rematch. The winner of this fight gets to take on the newly crowned champ, the Cookie Monster, Carla Esparza. Now, I was just excited for this fight as I was for the main event. And man, did it deliver? It was bittersweet. Now, going into it, I mean, everybody in this house pretty much thought Weili was going to win that fight. There was a little spot in the back of my head that was like, I don't know, you know, if Joanna, she has some time off. She's still Joanna, you know what I mean? She's still fast. But then I said, wait a minute, she's 35. Is she still fast like she was? You know what I mean? I don't know. Then when they got in that cage, Weili looked just twice as big as Joanna did. Like, Joanna looks really small, man. She looks like an atom weight. Like, she has, like, she has no thickness at all. Like, she's really frail, really small. And so that right there kind of had me nervous when I was watching it. And the fight seemed like it was going to be competitive for the most part going in there, but it didn't take long, man, for you to see that Joanna was past her prime. It's a new, I mean, Weili said it best. You know, I'm the new girl now. She's passing the torch to me. And one day there's going to be a girl better than me, and I'll be passing the torch to her. Excuse me. But that's basically what happened. You saw Joanna's greatness as far as what she is capable to do in the moment deteriorate right in front of your eyes and culminate to the end with a spinning back fist from hell that, quite honestly, you know, presented a really comical knockout. Like, it wasn't funny, but it was the, I mean, come on, man. The way that was, she got hit with that spinning back fist, and she, like, it took like almost 2 seconds for her body to respond and react to what just happened. And it was hard enough to knock her out. So just that in itself just sounds funny. She got hit with that spinning back fist. Looked like she was about to react and retaliate. And then she just, it was kind of like what happened to Johnny Walker in his last fight. But in reverse. If y'all remember that, Johnny Walker got crushed and then he kind of like fell backwards, and this, it was comical the way he got knocked out. He like fell backwards and like did this weird wacky inflatable, you know what I'm talking about, that thing that be in front of the car dealerships waving his arms around and shit. That's what, that's the way Johnny Walker fell down backwards, and that's almost the way Joanna fell going forward on her face. So I mean, it was comical, but at the same time it broke your heart, because Joanna's a warrior. She's really little, man, and she got the heart of a fucking lion. You know, she's like a chihuahua out there, man. You just gotta respect her, and remembering just what she has done in this sport, like, you gotta think, man, she's a 115-pound fighter. 115 pounds. And we were all lined up waiting to watch this woman fight. We was all there waiting to watch her fight, loving her fights, watching those da-da-da-da-da-da. Jab straight, left kick to the inside left kick. Like, man, she had some of the fastest combinations. At her peak, she had the fastest combinations out of anybody in the entire sport. And I could say that with confidence. So just to see her go out like that was bittersweet, you know, because Wei Li, she did what she did. Respect to her. Like, man, it's going to be really tough for Esparza to, you know, Esparza, there's a path to victory for her, but she's going to have to, I don't know if she can get strong enough in the amount of time it's going to take for them to make that fight. Like, Carla's gonna have to really hit the gyms, lift some weights, and power wrestle, because she's not gonna catch up, nowhere near catch up to Wei Li on the feet. It's not happening. She's going to get destroyed. But if she makes this a grueling, ugly, boring, dirty fight, push her up against the fence, clinch her up, double underhooks, punch her in the face, you know, keep her forehead up in her chin, on her jaw, like, you know what I mean, she can play that game, that long game, and eventually maybe drag her to the ground, keep her there, you know, play that long boring game where they might boo you at the end. That's okay. That's because that's the only way I really see Cookie Monster winning that fight. And with that, like, I mean, you know what's messed up, if Wei Li would have beat Rose the first time, just, you know, beat Rose, we could be having a Wei Li versus Valentina fight. Because there was a moment maybe a year and a half ago that I was like, man, this girl's, you know, looking at her record and just looking at her physically, looking at what she's capable of. Like, her and Valentina looks like a good fight, because there's nobody really that looks like they can compete with Valentina unless you go up to 135, and Valentina's just too small, you know. And with that, the only person that was beating her up there was Amanda Nunes. So, you know, maybe she can put on that weight and get up there, but then again, the segue will maybe sway my opinion, because we had to fight with her last night, Saturday, 275 UFC, against Tyler Santos. And you know what, going into that fight, like, what I need to do is not listen to a lot of the talking heads and a lot of the media people, but sometimes I can't help it, because there's some people out there that I just really admire, or I really enjoy listening to their predictions and their takes. One of them people being the Weasel MMA on YouTube. Man, that guy, dude, sees stuff in fights that, I mean, you could watch a fight 5, 6, 10 times and then listen to a Weasel video of him breaking down that fight, and he's gonna pull up 5, 6, 10 things that you didn't see and be like, wow, damn, that is what happened. So, man, sometimes it's hard not to watch a Weasel video. UFC Gambling Addicts. It's another channel on YouTube that I go to. Bert MMA, little fella, he's young. Not even sure if he's even 18 yet, but man, that little dude is really good at breaking down the fights and picking in. Just like he's a really good kid, man. I like following him as well. But man, when I do follow, when I don't follow these channels and I, you know, go with my own mind, sometimes I be spot on, you know. And I was thinking, man, Tyler Santos is big. She's what, 19-1, 15-1, something like that. I don't have a record right in front of me because I'm doing this off the cuff, y'all. But she's only lost one time. Now, she did lose that fight to, what was it, Borodella, Moreno, whatever her name is. Y'all know what I'm talking about. If y'all don't, then y'all probably don't watch a lot of UFC. And if y'all do watch a lot of UFC, y'all probably still don't know her because she's not even ranked. But, yeah, she did lose that fight in her debut. So that was, I mean, she was undefeated coming into the UFC with double-digit wins. So she had something behind her, you know. Looking at her, and she's Brazilian, you know, really good on the ground, really powerful, strong. It's like, man, this is somebody that Valentina hasn't fought, especially at 125. Like, this is somebody that she was fighting at 135. You know what I mean? So, there in the back of my head, I'm like, man, this feels like a trap game. This feels like one of those fights where Valentina Shevchenko is gonna fucking lose. And I didn't see her losing to nobody on this roster anytime soon. But to be honest with you, Tyler Santos never crossed my mind as somebody who could potentially face her. But with her cleaning out the division and there not being very many opponents to choose from, that should have been obvious. But anyway, that fight, now, let me say this. I did think Valentina won that fight. I gave Valentina 3, 4, and 5. And I gave Tyler 1 and 2. And after giving Tyler 1 and 2, I was sitting there like, whoa, shoot. Like, you know, if Tyler keeps on taking her, Valentina's not strong enough. She was doing all the right things, trying to sweep and everything. But Santos, with her, you know, being good on the ground as well, but being that much stronger than Valentina, Valentina wasn't able to complete the sweeps and transitions on the ground. She ended up staying on the bottom. So, you know, it was not looking too good for her. But then in that third round, instead, she knew what was up. And Valentina turned up the heat. Everything that she started throwing had looked like it had a little bit of extra ketchup on it. And she was hitting her, bang, bang, tagging her, kicking her, doing her thing. And then she kept on trying to get that takedown. Like, every time she goes for that head and arm throw, it's like just natural instincts. She's so good and so used to getting that thing off. But she wasn't able to against Tyler. And Tyler was in there doing her thing. And maybe today we'd have a new champion if it wasn't for that unintentional headbutt that they did, the clash of heads. Because that really changed the dynamic of the fight and how Tyler was able to approach the game. Because, I mean, when you get your orbital bone broken like that, but yet continue to fight against the best pound for pound woman fighter on the planet, and in my opinion of all time, because I think that she won that fight against Amanda Nunes. I think she did. When have you ever seen Amanda Nunes not press the action and only just throw leg kicks from a distance? That's what Valentina did to Amanda Nunes. She go back and watch that last fight, man. She had her nervous. She was scared. She was too much faster than her. She was valid. Every time she got in there, Valentina hit her with that three piece, that 1-2 leg kick, 1-2 leg kick, 1-2, 1-2. Like, she could not do nothing with her. But, you know, Valentina is she is the woman, and to be in there with her with a broken orbital, and to, you know, probably can't really see that well, your eyes all swollen up, it hurts like hell, And, you know, I just think that that was really unfortunate. And if that wouldn't have happened, maybe the fight would have been different. Maybe she would have been able to press the action like she wanted to, instead of trying to protect, you know, a really messed up injury. But all in all, Valentina did what she was supposed to do. She got in there and she won a split decision. And I think that one more win, like, honestly, I think with there being nobody in that division, you know what I mean, would have been slim pickings. I think she should get an immediate rematch anyway, unless Valentina is like waiting for the winner of the 135 fight between Nunes and the Venezuelan Vixen. But I don't, after that fight, I don't think she should. I don't really, you know, I don't think nobody would be clamoring for Valentina versus the winner of that fight right now. But I do think people would like to see a rematch of that fight again, because it wouldn't have, the fight could have went different without that headbutt. Now, I'm not saying that the bullet did that on purpose, because it was clearly unintentional, but it happened. And maybe if that didn't happen, the fight could have went a different way. So I do want to see a rematch of Valentina Shevchenko versus Tyler Santos. We just going to have to wait and see what happens. Now, fight y'all been waiting for, the fight I was waiting for. When I first saw this man in the UFC, I said, Jesus Christ, who is this dude? He's like a Game of Thrones character in real life in the cage. Like, this dude is the real deal. And that's Jiří Prochazka. And he's going up against my uncle. Yeah, he's my real uncle, Glover Teixeira. Yeah, that's my uncle. Go ask my mama. Look, he's going up against my uncle, man. Glover Teixeira. He's the man. He's been around a long time. You know, his idol is Mike Tyson in this fight game. And you can tell just by the way he, you know, goes out there and tries to take you out. Just the difference is, he's just as brutal as Mike Tyson is on the feet as on the ground. On the feet. Nah. But yeah, Glover is one of the more superior ground fighters in the sport. Not just in the UFC, in the sport. Because the man is just so physically strong, like that old man, grandpa, uncle strength. Man is just really strong. And he's really brutal. And he's really nice. So it's just a really messed up combination to have to go in there and face. But Jiří Prochazka is the guy who is crazy enough to do so. And that fight, man, it was one of the best fights I've ever seen. Ever. And I'm saying that from the aspect of, like, it was like a movie. Like, if they were to write a movie about a fight, you know, UFC fighters, and there was a fight in the movie where, you know, you want to make an action pack, everything happening, that was it right there. No script, back and forth, like the literal definition. I couldn't tell, me and my wife was watching that, we couldn't tell what was going on. We could tell who was winning. We couldn't tell who was up. Somebody be on top punching, next thing you know, you take a drink of your drink, you look back up, and the other person's on top pounding him. Like, it was just like, what is going on here? Back and forth, all the whole fight. One of the best things I ever saw. Glover Teixeira, him in his 40s out there doing what he does, he still looked good. And I think that he could have won that fight. He made a brutal error. Brutal, man. Glover could have won that fight, and don't get me wrong, it wasn't that I was rooting for Jiří, but I had picked Jiří to win. But I wouldn't have been mad either way. Whoever would have won that fight, there would have been no complaint out of me, as long as they would have won the fight fair and square, right? Glover, I'm not sure which round that was. I ain't do my homework like I should have, y'all. but I got enough of it in here. Now, I don't remember which round it was. It might have been the fifth round or the fourth round. But Glover caught Yuri and had him on skates, like right up against the cage, on skates, trying to survive. Caught him again, stumbled, almost knocked him down. And then Glover reaches around for a guillotine. A freaking guillotine. Standing up. While you got this man hurt. While it's in the later rounds. While you guys are sweating, bloody, both of you. Like, they literally was leaking. I wanted to say, like, Glover, he had his on the bridge of his nose. But when he was on the ground and he started bleeding, you couldn't tell where it was at. Yuri's was over his eye somewhere. Like, both of their eyes was busted up, bloody. So it was blood, sweat, probably literal tears in that motherfucker as well. And Glover's gonna go for a guillotine. Like, man, he would still probably be the champion if he would have just Mike Tysoned him out the rest of the way. And how ironic is it that Glover got submitted by Yuri Prochazka? Prochazka got 3 submissions in his whole career. Man got 29 wins. 29 wins, 3 of them submissions, and 1 of them is against one of the greatest grapplers the division has ever seen. It was a fun fight. It was amazing. That's what goes to show you, sometimes you can't doubt a card at all. Especially if it's not no big name fighters on there. Cause let's be honest, Valentina's a champion, Glover's a champion, Joanna was a champion, and then you got Wei Li. None of them are really superstars in this sport. Now, they are beloved. They are loved by the fans. Most of them are, like, pretty much all those fighters are. Well, we respect them to death, but they're, you know, there's tiers. And to be honest with you, I mean, or to be fair to them, they ain't that far away. But, I mean, you got the S tier. It's going to be your McGregors, your John Jones, you know. I mean, McGregor is not even S tier. McGregor is just something else. He's not even on the, he's off the chart, right? McGregor's off the chart. But then you got the S tier where you got John Jones. See, that makes it easier. You got Jones, you got Israel Adesanya, you got Francis Ngannou. Who else might be on that tier, man? The Khabibs, you know, the Justin Gaethje, Michael Chandler. But then you go underneath that and you probably got your, I don't know, I'll put Tony Ferguson up there with them too, but I was going to say Ferguson. Then you got your Josh Emmett's, your Zabit Magomed Sharipovs. You know what I'm saying? You got your tiers to this stuff. And the fighters from that card, 275, I think the highest tier, and I'm not saying off of their capabilities as a fighter, I'm just saying their draw. You know what I mean? Their ability to draw in big numbers, big pay-per-view buys. Man, we might have had, the B tier might have been the highest person on there. And I'm trying to really distinguish who that is. You know? I'm thinking the three ladies minus Tyler Santos. Like, they were the highest tier, maybe B tier. I don't know. Anybody disagree? Let me know. But yeah, that's what I think. And with that being said, which, you know, the highest tier being a B tier draw, you know, that's not something that just screams, I want to go buy this pay-per-view. But man, you can't. You can't just judge the book by its cover sometimes, because man, you're going to get some gems in some of these fights, man. Some of the fight night cards be twice as good as the pay-per-views. So, Just gotta be ready for it, man. But UFC 275 was a great one. Man, we've been doing a lot of basketball, which the next segment. As a matter of fact, this episode has ran for over 30 plus minutes, so we're gonna go ahead and just cut this one on the UFC, and we're gonna do another podcast for the NBA in the post. Y'all be looking on the lookout for that real soon. And you know what, it's a lot of UFC going on, so the Black Belt Podcast is about to get real lit, man. We about to start going over a lot of stuff, man. We ain't gonna just be going over the fights. We gonna go inside my head on just what I think about this stuff, these fighters, who's my favorite guys coming up, what do I think about some of the fights coming up, like Israel Adesanya and Jared Cannonier, and the winner of that potentially facing the winner of Sean Strickland and Alex Pereira. Oh my goodness, man. Sheesh. Though, we got some, it's some stuff coming up that I can't wait to get into, start breaking down. So, man, if y'all still here, I appreciate y'all, man, for tuning in to the Black Belt Podcast. It's your host, Razor Lease, and y'all have a good rest of y'all day. For me, it's the night, and I'm gonna get back with you. Ruh.